Blog Talk Radio.
The Senate will come to order.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
I want to know, is everybody ready?
Yeah!
All right, here we go. Everybody, head on up and do your stuff. Did you hear what I say? I said everybody, get on up and do your stuff. You better get up. But you got to be tough when you do your stuff. Hey!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Congress College. My name is Elizabeth Chris. And thank you for spending 30 minutes of your valuable time on a Monday, no less, to listen to Congress College and to hear all that is going on with the House of Representatives and the Senate of the United States. Congress College airs twice weekly on the Monday show, which, of course, is the show you're listening to right now, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is when we outline the week in Congress, and that means we are going to literally talk about what will be coming up in the Senate of the United States and what will be coming up in the House of Representatives. And then on the Friday show, same time slot, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, this is when we recap the week, and we talk about what actually got done. Did the Senate do what it said it was going to do? How about the House of Representatives? Did they do what they said they were going to do? Did they pass the bills that they said they would? And you know what? I do this show twice weekly so you can answer this really, really simple question. Were you represented well in Washington, D.C. for the week? Because think about it. Those guys and gals in the House and the Senate, they represent you. They represent me. You know, I say this all the time. We have the greatest representative government in the world, bar none. But we got to pay attention to what they're up to, or our representative government doesn't work so well. So that's one of the reasons I do the show twice weekly. Another reason is to familiarize folks with the free website, gradegov.com. Gradegov.com lets you grade a member of Congress. How about your member of Congress? What would you give him or her? How about a B? How about a D? And of course, when we're talking about grading a member of Congress, we're talking about the grades just like the ones we got in school, the A, B, C, D, or F. It's so simple, folks. Gradegov is free, always will be free. Once you figure out who you want to grade and once you figure out what grade you want to give, then the site is going to prompt you to go ahead and write a letter explaining your grade. You know, it auto-prompts the letter all the way up to, Dear Senator, let's say Rubio. Dear Senator Rubio, I gave you a B today, and you have to finish the today. Why? And, you know, I say this all the time. Check your spelling. I'm a horrible speller. And once you click send, you've just graded a member of Congress, and you've sent them a letter. And, folks, they see the letters. They see the grade. Gradegov works very, very hard not to use the House or the Senate email systems. Those are just software reporting systems. In other words, if you have a letter on the budget or on Obamacare, that member of Congress is going to get, oh, you got four letters today on Obamacare. Nobody sees your letter. This way, they see the grade, they see the letter, because we use personal email accounts. So your grade is going into somebody's email account in Washington, D.C., in the House member of the Senator's office. Look at gradegov.com, because what better way for them to figure out what you think of them? Aren't almost all members of Congress sort of constantly worried about, they're in that perpetual popularity contest. They're always wanting to know what their constituents think of them. What better way than to pop over to gradegov.com and for them to see, am I getting a B today? Am I getting a D? And to read your letters. So I urge folks, tell your friends, tell your family, heck, tell your foes about gradegov.com. I would really, really appreciate it. All right, we're done with the housekeeping. We're going to start out with the Senate of the United States this week. Oh, let me say this. Folks, I'm using my iPad. I've got a little computer problem. I'm using a new headset. I'm loving the headset. But my iPad is not letting me launch the chat room. So all those in the chat room, chat away. Have fun. Be kind if you're talking about your host, because I can't see you. But anyway, welcome to those in the chat room, and let's get started. All right, the Senate of the United States is debating or going to be debating the Defense Authorization Conference report. This is a bill that literally authorizes all the programs, all the policies, all that goes on in the Department of Defense. It doesn't spend a dime. It doesn't write the checks for the Department of Defense to spend money, to buy the tanks, to buy the Kevlar vests, for example, but it outlines the policies that the Department of Defense should follow. So that bill is coming up in the Senate this week. Otherwise, they are going to be spending some valuable time, and they meaning the Senate leader, Mitch McConnell, some of his leadership folks, trying to figure out and begin the negotiations on the fiscal cliff. Remember the Budget Control Act? Remember the fiscal cliff of 2013 that created the whole sequester process where the federal government actually tightened its belts just a little bit? Well, all of that is going to have to be revisited in December. It's actually December 11th. So there'll be fiscal cliff negotiations behind the scenes, and we're going to be talking about that, I know, in the coming weeks. Let me quote our president, Barack Obama. He said this on Friday. I will not sign another short-sighted spending bill. I will not sign a bill like the one Congress sent me this week. We've purchased ourselves 10 additional weeks. We need to use them effectively. He went on to say, we can't fund our country the way we did 10 years ago because we have a greater demand with an aging population, with kids who need schools, with roads that need to be fixed, with a military on which we are placing extraordinary demands. So that's what's kind of going on behind the scenes. The beginning of that, December 11th, is a while away, but I hope they're starting early. Don't you hope they start early. They always seem to wait till the last minute. Let me say this. We're going to talk about the House side. We're going to talk about the leadership elections. But let's think about this, for example. The smaller groups that are starting to push their way through the House leadership. And, of course, I know what you know what I'm talking about. The Tea Party groups, the We the People groups, the fiscal conservative groups. Folks, I love them, but they need to be careful, and here's why. Think about this for a minute. If they choose when they want to withhold their support of something, including the upcoming vote for Speaker, 218 votes does not have to come from the Republican Party. 218 votes in the House of Representatives is just that, 218 votes. So does a bunch of them come from Nancy Pelosi? If a bunch of Republicans decide, 40, 50, 60 of them decide they don't want to vote on a certain speaker, does the 218, the number to get to 218, the majority of that, some of that come from Nancy Pelosi? Every Democrat this past week voted for the short-term spending bill. That's the one that keeps the government open until December 11th. Less than half of the Republicans voted for it. Less than half. Think about that. Less than half of the Republicans voted for it, but the Democrats voted for it. Nancy Pelosi voted for it. Let's be careful. They need to be careful what they're doing with these speaker races because, again, 218 is just that. It's 218 votes. There's no rule that says all those 218 have to come from the majority party. They come from every member of the House of Representatives. Negotiations are essential, like lifting the sequester. So they've got to be really, really careful. Let me also say something more about the Senate, and then we're going to go over to the leadership elections. Wednesday, Senator Blumenthal, a Democrat from Connecticut, is going to have a press conference. We should watch that, folks. Maybe we'll talk about it on Andrea J. King's show Wednesday night. The press conference is going to be on new gun laws as a result of the shooting last weekend in Oregon. Senator Blumenthal, the Democrat from Connecticut, obviously, the home state of Sandy Hook Elementary School a couple of years ago where all those children were killed. He's going to have a press conference on Wednesday dealing with the gun laws and probably wanting to, what he calls, close some loopholes. So we're going to be all over that, folks. All right, I promised we would then flip over to the House of Representatives. But, you know, let me do something right before we do that. Did you know that President Obama went to the UN a week or so ago? Let me read part of what he said. The people of our United Nations are not as different as they are told. They can be made to fear. They can be made to talk to hate. But they are also respond to hope. History is littered with the failure of false prophets and fallen empires who insisted that might makes right. You can count on that, but we are called upon to offer a different leadership. Leadership strong enough to recognize that nations share common interests and people share common humanity. President Barack Obama. Sounds pretty good, I guess. What did it really mean? Is that more hope and change? Is that more of his hope and change rhetoric? It's a lot of words, a lot of flowery words, but what does it really mean? You know who else spoke at the United Nations recently? The Israeli Prime Minister, in effect, the President of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. Listen to this for a minute. Take a listen. This is a little over 2 minutes.
Home to over 6 million Jews. He pledged, quote, there will be no Israel in 25 years, end quote. 70 years after the murder of 6 million Jews, Iran's rulers promised to destroy my country, murder my people. And the response from this body, the response from nearly every one of the governments represented here has been absolutely nothing. Utter silence. Deafening silence.
The Prime Minister is now staring, glaring at everybody sitting on the floor at the hall of the House of the United Nations. He's staring at those representing Afghanistan. He's staring at those representing the nations that are members of the UN. It's a sea of people with their headphones on, staring at him, and he is glaring. What would you do if this was your country? He's staring them down. It was pretty powerful. This went on for about 45 seconds, and then he came on. He came on for a conclusion. As I said, very,
perhaps
very
powerful.
Perhaps
you can understand why Israel is not joining you in celebrating this deal. If Iran's rulers were working to destroy your countries, perhaps you'd be less enthusiastic about the deal. If Iran's terror proxies were firing thousands of rockets at your cities, perhaps you'd be more measured in your praise. And if this deal were unleashing a nuclear arms race in your neighborhood, perhaps you'd be more reluctant to celebrate.
What a difference, folks, between President Obama. I'm going to read the last line of President Obama. We are called upon to offer a different leadership. Leadership strong enough to recognize that nations share common interests and people share a common humanity. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Sorry, I couldn't help it. Man, what a difference in leadership. All right, let's go over to the House of Representatives because we know what is happening on Thursday, October 8th. Speaker elections are coming down. You've got Kevin McCarthy. He's the House Majority Leader right now, Republican from California. Jason Chaffetz from Utah. He said, today I am announcing my intention to run for Speaker of the House. He said that on Fox News Sunday. Remember, he chairs the Oversight Committee. He thinks that Kevin McCarthy is a good man, but he basically said, there are 246 Republicans who will vote. And 218 of them will probably not vote for Kevin McCarthy, so he's going to fall short. therefore I'm going to jump in the race. You also got Daniel Webster, a Republican from Florida. He was big in the Florida legislature, had some leadership roles in the Florida legislature, has not had leadership roles in the House of Representatives, but is hoping to translate his leadership roles in the Florida legislature into, can I play with the big leagues? Can I play in the big leagues? He hasn't authored any major legislation, neither has Kevin McCarthy. For that matter, not really Jason Chaffetz. And that there's a difference there, folks. Doesn't mean they're not capable of learning, but a member of the House who's been part of the leadership or at least been chairman, shepherded bills through the House, worked on trying to get them through the Senate, tried to negotiate the White House signing the bills. All of that is a precursor to negotiating fiscal cliffs with the Senate and the White House, right? Remember, December 11th, the federal government's going to run out of money. They're going to have to negotiate something past then, and that will be the new speaker. And again, I want to question or I just want to caution the We the People groups, the Tea Party groups, be careful that you don't give a huge voting block or power to Nancy Pelosi. Another thing they want to do on Thursday, and they actually want to do this before they do anything other than elect the speaker. They want to elect the speaker, and then they want to pause. They don't want to then elect the majority leader, some of the majority whips. They don't want to do that right now. They want to deal with some rules changes. Here are some rules changes that are under discussion. If you are seeking a new position in the House leadership, you've got to give up your current one. So Kevin McCarthy, who is the majority leader, you have to quit. Steve Scalise, he's from Louisiana. He wants to be the majority leader. He'd have to quit his leadership role. How about some of these changes that basically say more junior rank and file members can try to get bigger positions in the House? Dave Brat, do you remember that name? Dave Brat, a Republican from Virginia. He's the one that unseated Eric Cantor in his primary. Eric Cantor was a congressman from Virginia. He was the House Majority Leader, the same position that Kevin McCarthy has. And last November, he kind of forgot about the people, the good people of the Commonwealth of Virginia, forgot to go home a lot. And lo and behold, in his primary, he lost. He lost to Dave Brat, who was a professor of a small liberal arts college in Virginia. Well, Congressman Brat wants to consider maybe having the Hastert rule come back. And the Hastert rule says you can't bring it. You meaning the majority leader, you meaning the Speaker of the House, you meaning the head of the majority party in the House of Representatives, which in the course of this case is the Republicans, you can't bring anything to the floor unless a majority of House Republicans will vote for it. A majority of House Republicans will vote for it. Oh, boy, think about that. You got 246, I believe. What's a majority of 246? 150, whatever it is. You could then think about that. You brought a bill that had a majority of that 246 voting for it. And where are the other majority? Let's say it's 140-something. Where do the other numbers come from to put it over the top to try to get to 218? Remember, 218 is the magic number in the House of Representatives as far as passing a bill by straight majority vote. 218, remember that, 218. So a majority of the Republican Party is the Hastert rule. 247 Republicans, what's half of that? Whatever half of that is. And the rest could be made up by Democrats. That could be dangerous, folks. How about allowing committee members to choose their own chairman and forget about that the speaker kind of poll vaults people into the chairmanship if he likes them or doesn't like them? The committees get to do that. Here's what you need to be careful of, and this is what I'm talking about. Protect small groups from hijacking conferences and constantly saying, well, if you don't have our votes, then nothing can get done. They could hijack the whole agenda. And, of course, that's what they want. That's what the Tea Party groups, the We the People groups want. And in some cases, I agree with them. But they need to be very, very careful. That's all I'm saying in this case. Be careful what you wish for, guys. All right, I'm going to play you something. This is about Obamacare. Take a listen to this.
The question is on transmitting the committee print to the House Committee on the Budget. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it and the motion is agreed to. The budget reconciliation legislative recommendations relating to the repeal of the Independent Payment Advisory Board is ordered transmitted to the House Committee on the Budget. Without objection, I ask that staff be authorized to make technical and conforming changes to the bill and that members may have two additional days to file with the committee clerk supplemental, additional, dissenting, or minority views. There being no further business before the committee stands adjourned.
Bet you didn't have any idea what that was. That sounded like a bunch of gibberish. Well, you know what that was? That was the House Ways and Means Committee chaired by Paul Ryan, the Republican from Wisconsin, teeing up one way to dismantle Obamacare. He was basically taking what House Ways and Means Committee folks had marked up in their committee. He was taking that document and saying it's now going to the Budget Committee. The Budget Committee packages it together for floor consideration. Why do you care about this, Elizabeth? Why are you telling me about this? This is so incredibly boring. It's not. Remember the word reconciliation. The reconciliation process is born out of a budget resolution. It wasn't available last year. It wasn't available the year before. It wasn't available the year before. It wasn't available the year before. Because the House, under the Democratic rule, and the Senate, their Democratic rule, have not passed budgets. But this year, the Republican House, the Republican Senate passed a budget, and they said, in the budget, we want to create the reconciliation process. Why do we care that Paul Ryan's fooling around with the reconciliation process? Because this is what he could potentially actually put in the reconciliation process. You ready for this? Repeal of the individual mandate from Obamacare. How about repeal the employer mandate? How about repeal the Independent Payment Advisory Board, the so-called death panels, as Sarah Palin called them? How about the medical device tax? And how about the Cadillac tax? Why do you care that they do that in a reconciliation bill? Why do we care that Paul Ryan is teeing up a reconciliation bill in the House potentially, getting ready to package it all together and send it to the Budget Committee? That just sounds like a lot of backyard nonsense or backdoor nonsense. Because in the Senate of the United States, it only takes a simple majority to pass a reconciliation bill. That's how we got Obamacare. Harry Reid used the reconciliation bill to pass Obamacare because he didn't have 60 votes. What's the problem with not being able to defund Planned Parenthood? What's the problem with not being able to dismantle Obamacare? What's the problem with not being able to stop the Iran nuclear deal? You don't have 60 votes in the Senate, folks. The Republicans do not. So they can't get anything out of the Senate that you and I care about typically. But the reconciliation process is they might be able to. They might be able to. So that was, you were listening to Paul Ryan beginning to package up a reconciliation process that hopefully will do many or all of those five. Also, remember in June of 2014, House Resolution 676, it authorized the Speaker of the House of Representatives, John Boehner, to file a lawsuit against the President on Obamacare. Remember, it makes two claims on Obamacare. It says that the administration has spent billions of dollars that were unappropriated. And remember, under the Constitution, all money bills have to begin in the House of Representatives. This money wasn't appropriated, but yet the Secretary of HHS, Sylvia Burwell, and the Secretary of Treasury, Jack Lew, has been moving money around, playing and moving money everywhere to try to fund Obamacare. Also, the administration effectively amended Obamacare by delaying the employer mandate. Remember, he changed the dates. You do, you don't. You don't have to comply. You do have to comply. The dates were written in the bill. So you can't just twitch your nose, Mr. President or Secretary Lew or Secretary Burwell. Sorry, guys, can't just... I don't know, what did I dream of Jeannie do? Fold her hands and then nodded her head or dwinked or something. You can't do that. It takes Congress. So those two things, you got the lawsuit chugging away, making its way, and you got reconciliation
making its way through Congress. We're going to watch all of that. All right, we're going to go to politics for just a minute. How about Kevin McCarthy? This House Majority Leader wants to be House Speaker, maybe will be on Thursday. Did you hear what he said? Take a listen here for 1 minute. This is
The question I think you really want to ask me is, how am I going to be different? What are you going to see differently?
I love that you asked my questions, but go ahead. That was one of my questions. Go right ahead. Well,
I knew you'd want to ask it. What you're going to see is a conservative speaker that takes a conservative Congress that puts a strategy to fight and win. And let me give you one example. Everybody thought Hillary Clinton was unbeatable, right? But we put together a Benghazi special committee, a select committee. What are her numbers today? Her numbers are dropping. Why? Because she's untrustable. But no one would have known any of that had happened had we not thought and
That's
made
something
that happen.
Good. I give you
so
credit for that. I give you
okay,
credit
so
for
why...
Okay, here's the problem with that. Do we want our taxpayer money? Does a Democrat who pays taxes just like a Republican, does a Hillary lover pays taxes just like I do, just like my husband does, just like you do? We don't love Hillary, but we pay taxes nonetheless. Do we want our taxpayer money to go to something that is, according to Kevin McCarthy, was whiteboarded or gamed out on some strategy board to try to defeat Hillary? That's not what our money is supposed to go to. That's not what our Congress is supposed to be doing in theory. So he made it political. The chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, Trey Gowdy, the Republican from South Carolina, has spent the last year doing everything within his power, wordsmithing, everything within his power to make sure people did not believe that the Benghazi Select Committee was political at all. It was just fact-finding. It was trying to, quote, get to the truth. Well, Kevin McCarthy just blew that out in one 40-second clip. And Sean Hannity didn't even know he did it, didn't even realize it happened. So now Kevin McCarthy's in a little bit of trouble. Come Thursday, is he going to be elected speaker? Because, boy, did he already step on it, and he's not even speaker. All right, we're going to have to see. Going back to presidential politics real fast. John Kasich is going to speak to the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce tomorrow. Why do we care? John Kasich is a Republican from Ohio, not doing great in the polls, but hasn't really spent a lot of money, not pouring money into ads. What is he doing? He's doing stuff behind the scenes. He's going to get all the groundwork in various states, getting your mayor, getting your city council members, maybe getting your sheriff, maybe getting your governor to support him. He's doing a lot of behind the scenes, but he is going to speak to the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce tomorrow. Why do I even mention that? Because Donald Trump set up a similar meeting a couple of months ago with the same people, the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. A gentleman by the name of Javier Palomaros is the president and CEO, and he and Donald Trump met in New York, pulled out calendars, circled a date, and said, this is when you're going to meet, this is when we're going to have you, sir, and we'll get the ground rules ironed out. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump is saying, never had a meeting, doesn't want to meet with him. So here's the deal. Telemundo, which is a big cable company in the Hispanic community, is reporting he reneged, he lied. Donald Trump is dropping in the polls. So we're going to have to see what actually happens. All right, we're about to run out of time. Remember, the Benghazi hearings are October 22nd. I'm sure by Friday we'll be talking about the speaker's elections. But I always do this. Get your paper, get your pencil out. The president's daily schedule for today is 10:30. He receives presidential daily briefing. That's it, folks. That is your president card at work. 10:30, he had a meeting and got the briefing. That's it. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed week. Thanks for spending 30 minutes with me. Enjoy this closing song. It's Linda Ronstadt. You're no good. Have a blessed, blessed week. And you know what? I'm going to talk to you on Friday. So stay tuned.